Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Wednesday, April the 30th, the Secretary-General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, extends his condolences to Catholics worldwide over the loss of Pope Francis. The Pope's silversmith recalls his frequent conversations with Francis over biscuits and glasses of milk. And the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations stresses that rearmament is not the answer to the grave crises facing the world today. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. The Secretary-General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has extended his deepest condolences to the Church over the loss of Pope Francis. Speaking on behalf of the United Nations, Guterres says that the late Pope was, quote, a champion of the most marginalised people on earth.
His Holiness Pope Francis was a man of faith and a bridge builder among all faith. He was a champion of the most marginalised people on earth. He was a voice of community in a world of division, a voice of mercy in a world of cruelty, a voice of peace in a world of war. And he was a steadfast friend of the United Nations, addressing member states from this very podium in 2015. During that historic visit, he also spoke of our organization's ideal love, and I quote, a united human family living in harmony, working not only for peace, but in peace, working not only for justice, but in a spirit of justice, end of quote. On behalf of our UN family, I extend my deepest condolences to the Catholic community and to so many others around the world grieving this tremendous loss. Excellencies, Pope Francis was at the helm of the Roman Catholic Church for a dozen years, but that was preceded by decades of service and good works. As a young man, Pope Francis found his calling in the slums of Buenos Aires, where his dedication to serving the poor earned him later the title Bishop of the Slums. These early experiences sharpened his conviction that faith must be an engine of action and change. And Pope Francis put that engine into overdrive as an unstoppable voice for social justice and equality. His 2020 encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, drew a straight line between greed and poverty, hunger, inequality, and suffering. While decrying the inequality that defines our globalized economy, he also warned against what he called the globalization of indifference.
That was the Secretary-General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, speaking at a tribute ceremony to the late Pope Francis in the UN General Assembly Hall. Now, one of the participants in that event was Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations. The late Pope was a father figure for people of all faiths and cultures, Archbishop Caccia said, and at the UN his messages and his actions were unanimously acclaimed.
There was the flag of the United Nations half-mast, a ceremony that has been repeated in all the posts of the United Nations throughout the world, a sign of respect, a sign of solidarity. And that has been also explained by words, by the participation of all the members yesterday at the commemoration of the General Assembly, in which the President of the General Assembly, the Secretary General, and all the member states in groups representative of the regions of the world have expressed their condolences. They paid homage to this great figure of Pope Francis, so beloved because he was, as they said in many interventions, the people's Pope, close to every person. And they felt that they have lost somebody who, for sure, belongs to the Catholic community, to the Holy See, but in a sense, he was a father, a familiar figure for all people of all faith, of all languages, of all cultures. And in that sense, the legacy of being united, as he hoped for with the encyclical Fratelli Tutti has been already realized in this moment, particular moment, in which we felt very much united at the United Nations. There was a big consensus about the words and the deed of Pope Francis. And that was amazing, as we have seen, on the other hand, at the funeral in Rome. All the world was there, and all the world was embraced by the Bernini's colonnade, but also was embraced by the Catholic Church, for sure was embraced by Pope Francis himself from up in heaven.
As tributes to the late Pope continued to pour in, Adrian Palarols, the Pope's silversmith, spoke earlier to Vatican Radio about the man he remembers as a close friend. He recalled that Pope Francis celebrated his wedding, baptised his children, and remembered chatting with the then Cardinal Bergoglio over biscuits and glasses of coffee milk.
When I started my workshop in Buenos Aires, he came over in the middle of nothing because it was like a bricks and a dust and a very dirty place because it was in construction. He blessed all the work and the workers and me for a holy beginning to being there with the help of God. So I have no words to express how present was this person, this man, because I always was closest to the man, to the friend behind the religious functionary. Well, that was like a somehow secondary and in the first place at the same time. But we were always in first place, friends, brothers, father and son. He always, as a regular priest, take care of my son, Matteo, my daughter Francesca. He gives her baptism in Buenos Aires as cardinal. He gives Francesca first communion here in Santa Marta, and at the same time with Matteo, what is his younger brother, he baptized Matteo too. He used to call me to my cell phone from time to time. He used to be very busy because, you know, he used to be. His last words when we finish our conversation used to be, "My son, even when I am not able to be in touch, please don't forget how much I love you."
That was Adrian Palarolzi, close friend of Pope Francis and frequently known as the Pope's silversmith, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Now moving over to the Vatican, the College of Cardinals held their 7th General Congregation this morning and asked the faithful around the world to pray for their discernment for the next Pope. The Cardinals also agreed that all 133 Cardinal electors present will be able to vote in the conclave, despite the notional limit of 120 electors. Devon Watkins has more.
180 cardinals participated in the 7th General Congregation in the new Synod Hall on Wednesday morning, of whom 124 were cardinal electors. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, told reporters that the first part of the meeting focused on the financial situation of the Holy See. He said Cardinals Reinhard Marx, Kevin Farrell, Christoph Schönborn, Fernando Verges, and Konrad Krajewski all took the floor. In the second part of the General Congregation, 14 cardinals intervened on various topics. These included the ecclesiology of the people of God, synodality and episcopal collegiality as a way to overcome polarization, and vocations to the priesthood and religious life. The cardinals also read out a declaration asking the Catholic faithful to pray for them and their spiritual discernment for the man who will be the next pope. The cardinals said they feel the need to be supported by the prayers of all the faithful, since they are aware of their responsibility in choosing the next successor of Peter. Faced with the enormity of the task ahead and the urgency of the present time, said the cardinals, it is first of all necessary to make ourselves humble instruments of the infinite wisdom and providence of our Heavenly Father, in docility to the action of the Holy Spirit. The cardinals noted that the Holy Spirit is the protagonist of the life of the people of God, the one to whom we must listen, accepting what he is saying to the Church. Separately, the cardinals announced that all 133 cardinal electors participating in the upcoming conclave have the right to vote for the new pope. They noted that the Apostolic Constitution, Universi Domenici Gregis, which governs the conclave, allows 120 cardinals to vote. However, they said the late Pope Francis dispensed with that numerical limit by creating more than 120 cardinals under the age of 80. Therefore, declared the cardinals, all electors have the right to elect the Roman pontiff from the moment of their creation. I'm Devin Watkins.
Yeah, thank you to Devin for that report. The conclave will be beginning on the 7th, and you'll be able to follow along on Vatican News on our YouTube channel. We'll be watching the chimney of the Sistine Chapel to see whether there's any smoke, and we'll be having live analysis, live commentary. We'll have people down in the square who are calling into the show, so do tune in starting from the 7th of May for the conclave. We heard earlier from Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Holy See's permanent representative to the United Nations in New York, yesterday speaking at the UN's New York headquarters for ahead of the 2026 review conference of the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. The Archbishop stressed the Holy See's unwavering call for global nuclear disarmament. As Lisa Zengarini reports, the Vatican Permanent Observer insisted that the current race to rearmament is not the answer to the grave challenges facing the world today.
In his statement, Archbishop Caccia strongly condemned the global rise in rearmament and nuclear modernization, warning that such developments intensify global instability and further erode trust among nations. He criticized the prevailing logic of fear and deterrence, calling it a morally flawed foundation for international security. In fact, he said reliance on fear ultimately moves the international community further away from the pursuit of lasting and sustainable peace. The Holy See's delegation outlined three critical areas of concern. First, Archbishop Caccia called for an end to nuclear deterrence, urging all nuclear-armed states to fulfill their obligation under the Non-Proliferation Treaty by engaging in good-faith negotiations to reduce stockpiles and eliminate nuclear arsenals. Second, the Vatican Nuncio highlighted the evolving risks posed by advanced technologies, including hypersonic missiles and cyber vulnerabilities, warning that these could increase the likelihood of miscalculation or accidental launches. Third, Archbishop Caccia highlighted the urgent need for the international community to redirect military spending towards the conversion of military industries for peaceful purposes. In this regard, he reiterated the Holy See's proposal to redirect resources otherwise devoted to arms and military expenditure towards a dedicated fund to eradicate hunger and promote development in the poorest regions of the world. Reaffirming that a world free of nuclear weapons is not only possible but necessary, Archbishop Caccia concluded his statement by encouraging continued efforts to explore how the Non-Proliferation Treaty and the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons can serve to complement and reinforce one another. I am Lisa Zengarini.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories during this Sede Vacante period as we await the election of the next Pope, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages, as well as our YouTube channel that I mentioned earlier. Just search Vatican News English. It's in lots of languages. Make sure you get the English channel. Many thanks go to Luca in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.